Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Blog Talk listeners. We're experiencing a little technical difficulty and we will be live shortly. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you all, and welcome to Elevated Places, Dr. Ava, along with our sister, Sister Charlene Muhammad. I am your guest host for tonight, Brother Abdul Shaheed Muhammad of the Holly Springs, Mississippi Study Group. And I am honored beyond words to be a part of this Blog Talk Radio broadcast for this evening. And we got an exciting program for you this evening. For tonight, our topic, will we be discussing true prison reform, a look at the Nation of Islam's prison reform ministry. And we also will be discussing the recent fourth annual prison reform gala that took place this past Saturday. Our guest for tonight, the one and only, my big brother and friend, the student national prison reform minister of the Nation of Islam, student minister Abdullah Muhammad, along with another good and dear friend of mine and co-worker and comrade at arms in the mission of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, student minister Kenneth Muhammad, a product as well as student in the prison reform ministry. I think our guests should be on momentarily if they are not already on. But I certainly want to pay homage and respect and honor to our dear sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, as I reflected and getting ready and preparing for tonight's program. Thoughts came to mind, particularly where she is concerned as it relates to this past weather event. And I must say, when the cold snap really hit and the entire country essentially was in a freeze, and I thought about what Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad said relative to the weather, and she said these words, and I'm not quoting exactly, but this is how I understood her. She said, when the weather gets extreme, it sometimes is a sign that the wicked are planning. And of course, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has always said to us, we must pay attention to the weather, simply because we are living in that time whereby we are witnessing the unraveling of a nation. Please, I'd like to back up just a little bit, and I always like to acknowledge our Creator and pray that he will direct our path and our words and that this will be an enlightening and a productive conversation. So let me say first, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness to the oneness of God, to the oneness of his messengers, and to the oneness of the scriptures that were revealed through them to the whole of humanity. We don't argue over God's names, y'all. We know that people of other faith traditions refer to God by names other than that of Allah, and we honor and respect all of those names. And as spiritually mature people, we should understand that God makes himself known according to the language and culture of the people among whom he raised his prophets, his messengers, and his warners. We certainly also want to welcome the audience from the Mississippi on the Move podcast. Welcome to Elevated Places, and welcome to our guests. Please feel free. We will have a call-in a portion of the program. That call-in number is 563-999-3065. And I think our guests are on and ready to move. Our sister Charlene, she will be on shortly with her news segment. But assalamu alaikum, brothers. Are you there? Brother Student Minister Abdullah and my brother and friend Kenneth Muhammad, are you all there?
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir, I'm on.
Oh, wa alaikum
salam.
I'm two for two. Praises be to Allah. Man, I got to admit, dear brothers, I'm a little bit nervous, you know. But, of course, as we move, Allah will bless us. Now I'm excited. It's an excited nervousness to have the opportunity to guest host this very important and some pretty big shoes I'm standing in, not feeling, hosting this Blog Talk Radio, Ask Dr. Ava or the Elevated Places Blog Talk Radio. Brothers, tonight we want to have a conversation with you about true prison reform. And of course, we know and you know particularly as it relates to the language that they use in reference to prisons and jails and whatnot. They call them correctional institutions. But we'll get into that name, which is why we use true prison reform. We're going to be taking a look at the Nation of Islam's prison reform ministry. Brother Abdullah, I want to start
with
you, brother. If you would be so kind, brother, to introduce yourself to our listening audience. And if you could, brother, just share with us in your own words some of your history where the Nation of Islam is concerned and the Nation of Islam Prison Reform Ministry.
Okay, would you repeat that last part?
Yes, sir. Share with us your history with the Nation, in the Nation of Islam, and with the Prison Reform Ministry.
Yes, sir. Well, in the name of Allah, who appeared in person of Master Fard Muhammad, and in the name of His Exalted Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who chose me to be his head of the Nation of Islam's Prison Reform Ministry. My history is that I found myself in jail in Chicago. I was living a street life, and I got caught distributing some pills called T's and Blues. And I was,
yeah.
I don't know what they call them down south, but I wound up going to the Cook County Jail here in Chicago, and I was blessed by Allah to run into Brother Leotis X. Beasley, who was the only follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan during his second rise. And he had the only message to the black man in the jail. So he asked me, well, the reason why I sat next to him, I thought he was the leader, and I was like, angry as hell with being busted and different things in my life going wrong, back to back to back. And if I made $2,500, then I would have to use it to bond a very important piece of my money making operation. It would cost me the whole $25 to get them out. So all kind of stuff just started going wrong. I was pitching pennies, and I pitched a liner, and the man pitched his penny, and it rolled in a circle and landed on top of mine. So I couldn't win at nothing. And then finally got busted out. By the time I got to jail, I had vowed I ain't joining no organization. I ain't doing a damn thing but what I want to do. I'm not going to wait to be felt out. I'm just going to search the eyes of the brothers and whoever I think is the leader. I looked in Brother Leota's eyes, hadn't seen a look like that before. And so I figured that he was the leader. So I went and sat down next to him with a mind to hurt him whenever the opportunity presented itself for us to have this confrontation. But I got lost in his conversation and what he was saying to the two inmates sitting to his right. And he said that according to the Book of Revelations, the next president should be a Christian, and most specifically a Catholic. And so the more I listened to him, the more my mind, my thinking inside me, I was listening to him and I was listening to the other dudes and what they were saying. And I found myself saying, man, I'm with this dude. I didn't know nobody thought like that. Man, that's the way I think deep down inside me. I'm with this dude. So it was time to lock up. And he stood up and he said, what would you do if God walked up to you right now? I said, I wouldn't do nothing. He said, you wouldn't be scared? I said, no, sir, because he know I ain't did nothing but what I had to do to survive. He said, I take it that you can believe God is a man. And I said, I got no problem with that. He said, well, the next time they let us out the cells, it'd be dinner time. And after dinner, come down this corridor all the way to the end, and the cell on the left, we have study group. And so I was introduced to Message to the Black Man, and my first introduction was, I think it was Elevate, Protect, and Respect the Black Woman was my first introduction to Islam.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Beautiful, brother. Thank you so much. I want to move to my brother Kenneth Muhammad, sir. If you would be so kind, dear brother, your opening statement for us. Introduce yourself to the Elevated Places audience and give us a little of your history, brother, with the Nation of Islam's Prison Reform Ministry.
Yes, sir, brother. First, let me open up in the most holy and righteous name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And bear witness Muhammad is his messenger. I could never, ever thank him enough for his long-awaited intervention in our affairs in the person of Master Farid Muhammad, the great Mahdi. And he raised up a Georgia-born black man, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and deposited himself into that man. And now we have the perfect reflection among us in the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Brother, my introduction to the Nation of Islam's prison reform ministry was like so many thousands of our people. I was languishing in one of the prison houses of America. I was about 8 years into a life sentence. And while I was just trying to cope with the reality of my condition, a brother walked up and invited me out to one of the services. It's not like that was the first time I had been invited, but it was something about this brother who looked like one of us, but unlike any of us. He had a glow about him. He had a discipline about him. And it was something that made me go in that chapel on that Friday afternoon. And when I heard him teach, and then after he gave me something to read, and then the next meeting, they were playing a tape. It was a VHS tape. That's how long ago it was. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he said something in that. Even though the room was full of brothers, it was like it was just me and him. And he said that there is no human being that cannot be redeemed. And that resonated with me. And all the things I was struggling with, I heard that word come out of that man's mouth, and I held on to that word. And I began the process of self-improvement, the basis for community development, which is based on self-examination, self-analysis, and self-correction. And as the more I began to apply the teachings, the trajectory of my life began to change. My mentality changed. I still was in prison, but I wasn't in prison. And the way that I was able to transcend my environment, it gave me the will to continue to live. It gave me a reason to get up in the morning. I found my purpose. And not only that, I had the desire to share what I was studying with anybody who would listen to me. And that's how I became one of the most dedicated, I say, to the study of the teachings in prison at that time, and began to, with the Lord's permission, we established study groups in all of the prisons. We established a Nation of Islam library. We were blessed after a couple years to get the support from the local mosque, Muhammad's Mosque number 60 in Nashville, Tennessee. The minister at that time was student minister Abdul Majid Muhammad, and that was a mosque that had the prison reform ministry interwoven into the fabric of all of the believers. So it was something that was not just talked about, you actually had to participate in. And so, brother, I didn't know when I was coming home, but in prison, you could not tell me I was not living the life of a card-carrying member of the Nation of Islam. We had class on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, just like we do out here. And before, I won't say before you know it, because it took close to 26 years, but Allah blessed me to be released. And this is all I know. All of my chips are in this. I don't have a backup plan. And the Nation of Islam's Prison Reform Ministry has done so much for me and others like me that I gave my word that I would take message, like my leader, to every nook and cranny in the world.
Praise be to Allah. Beautiful, beautiful. Brother Abdullah,
I got
to ask this question, brother. The Nation of Islam, you know, and for the audience, just a little rewind, if you will. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he and his person and his personal experience with being unjustly incarcerated is the genesis. Really before him, his teacher. They even incarcerated his teacher, and he would call the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to see and to show him what the price would be to free black people. But the point number five in what the Muslims want on the back page, that manifested. And I just wanted to back up for the audience that may not have heard that or know anything about that genesis, and there's a lot more to it. But Brother Abdullah, the Nation of Islam's Prison Reform Ministry has been kind of like, for lack of a better way of characterizing it, a quiet man manufacturing plant or a quiet gold and diamond mine where you can mine out those who would be willing to go in and mine out some of the best of our people, Malcolm X being an example and many, many others. But it's been like a quiet storm. My brother, share with us some of the work that you've done over the years. And, I mean, it's right in the final call. I read about how you've been fighting for Brother Mumia and going around the country. The Nation of Islam's Prison Reform Ministry, one point, was under attack. But if you would, brother, share with the audience some of the accomplishments of, if you will, of some of the work that you've done over the years that, you know, the listening audience and the public just may not necessarily know.
Well, just without trying to recall everything,
it's
I would
a lot,
say my
I'm
work,
looking at a lot.
My work is, when you say true prison reform, simply speaking, my work is to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan connect the soul of these men and women to their creator.
Yes, sir.
once they learn of their Creator and learn of themselves, then that's when they are relieved of the burden of guilt. They did not create the circumstances that led them and us into prison. A wise, crooked deceiver who was written of thousands of years before they came into existence created and lured us into various different traps. And that's what they call selling crack anyway. They say I'm out here trapping where the government was trapping too. And we were drawn into the trap. And transmitting the word of God that came through his two messengers in our midst, release them because they come into the knowledge now of the time and what must be done rather than focusing on the time the enemy gave them. As I told one brother last, on the 21st of this month, he was talking about doing time and how much time. And I told him, I said, brother, you might be only one earthquake away from being free. You got to know the time. And
yes,
that your God is present and that his exalted Christ was present among us and is now in an exalted position executing all of the power you say belonged to God, where he gave it to his right hand, the exalted Christ. And when Christ is exalted, that means he's not dead. So we have to bring them into the knowledge of the men of God, and especially the man at this hour of the second resurrection, so that they can tell time and understand what's going on with them and the world. So that's the only thing I got to say is I try to help Minister Farrakhan, and on a phone call last week, he talked about discovering himself and who he is, and then he saw the cross. And he said that Jesus asked the disciples, who are my helpers? And the disciples said, we are. And he said, Jesus then said, pick up your cross and follow me.
Yes, sir.
And like Brother Kenneth said, he all in. Well, when I realized he was talking to me in messengers and don't speak idle words, I took it personally that he's talking to me. And with the reality of being blessed to know who he is, my answer was, I am. I'm your helper. And then he said, on the other side, he said, Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Then he told me on the other side of that cross is a new beginning. And I want you with me in the new beginning. So I'm striving to purify myself to be an example of my brothers and sisters that's locked down and to teach them not to think hopelessly, because no Muslim thinks hopelessly, and bring them into the knowledge of the time so that they'll know what must be done and so that they will know our God. And once knowing our God, their prayers can't miss. And
yes, sir.
Then we want to bring them up into that type of knowledge of God and the knowledge of themselves, so that when they say, Surely my prayer, my sacrifice, my life and my death is all for Allah. They will mean it because just we just went through COVID-19. Some brothers died in prison. Mm. Some took the shot until they saw the video of the criterion, and then they confessed that they had took the shot, but they didn't know about the criterion. Some refused to take the shot, and as a result, the little slave wage job, paying job that they had, they lost that because we don't take the vaccination. So as a result, we got isolated while people that took the shot in ignorance were able to go to work and continue to make their minimum wage. Some prisons kept brothers from even having visits from their family because they didn't take the shot. So these are wicked beasts, things that could keep them from crushing us is the knowledge of God. So that phone kind of threw me off, but
that's all right, brother.
The knowledge of God accepted and practiced will earn us the protection of God. And like our God is promised and prophesied to destroy this America for all that they have done to us of wickedness and all of the injustice that we suffer, he said it's scientists that can cut a shortage in the atmosphere and make the molecules so tight that nothing can come in and nothing can get out, and he can set it on a blaze from 13 layers up. I believe, and I told the brothers in the prison, your faith got to be that strong where you can believe that Allah, Master Farid Muhammad, can put a force field like you around you the same way. If Captain Kirk and Spock can have a force field, you think your God can't?
I believe
that we are gods, and if we are gods, we can call on our God who we know, and he could protect us irregardless of somebody in the cell with coronavirus.
That's right. COVID-19. That's right, brother.
That's the kind of faith I got, and I'm working on purifying myself because I'm with the minister. I'm picking up my cross, and I don't give a damn about nothing else in life. I'm eager. The only thing I want is not to be killed by the enemy. I want to kill the enemy because I'm sick and tired of them getting away with slaying us. So this is what I don't teach it in these exact words, but I try to strengthen my brothers the way the minister was ordered to go strengthen his brothers. I try to do the same thing according to the assignment that he gave me. I don't know if I answered your question, but
Brother Abdullah, I'm sitting here thinking, man. I asked this man some of his accomplishments, but he don't want to talk about that. And the beauty in that is, brother, you talked about what it is you've been asked to do. And I think that is profound because a lot of people will bounce at the chance to talk about what they've been able to accomplish, been blessed to accomplish. And it's not a bad thing, but I find it interesting, brother, that you chose to address what it is that needs to be done for our brothers and sisters who are in the belly of the beast and what your desire is as it relates to purifying yourself that you may be a better helper. So, yes, sir, you answered the question. in my estimation, because I'm just looking, brother, at many of the things that you've been able to do. As I mentioned, you've done work helping Brother Abu Mumia Jamal and Brother Malik Aziz, honoring people and traveling the country, the Delaware Valley, and many places around the country that many of us just simply don't know the work that's going on. It's a quiet work. But, Brother, beautiful answer. And I want to get to you, Brother Kenneth, in a few minutes here. We're at 7:35, at the top of the hour. We're going to bring our dear sister Charlene in for the final call segment of tonight's program. And then we're going to get to the wonderful callers that may want to call and ask questions of you, brothers. But, Brother Kenneth, man, how has the, up to this point, the transformative effect of the teachings, both of you are certainly familiar with, I am, the world is, they watch Malcolm X, they see us in the streets. Share with the audience just the transformative effect that it's had on your life and what you've been blessed to accomplish in terms of personal development up to this point in your life, brother, since you've met the teachings.
Yes, sir. I like to tell brothers, I would tell them in prison, of course, to all those I speak with now, that the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the leadership and guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, are tailor-made for the black man and woman. Now, primarily in the institutions, of course, we're speaking with men and being housed with men. I would show them that the teachings cover every aspect of your life, the spiritual, the mental, and the physical. When we're talking about the spiritual, to have that connection that Brother Abdullah was talking about, to be reconnected to your Creator, Minister Farrakhan says that's what true prison reform is. It reconnects the soul to its Creator. When you realize that there is no mystery God, there is a reality to God, and then you connect to that reality, you gain superpowers. Your mentality changes. You begin to think that there is nothing you cannot accomplish because your God is real. It cleans up all of that spookiness. We understand the reality of God. Then we understand the true religion of God. We understand that what God did for those we will read about in the scriptures, that was prophecy told to us as history, that those events that was talking about in actuality is speaking about the black man and woman's condition here in the hells of North America. That changes your thinking on a spiritual level. Physically, how to eat to live is probably one of the most understudied but most important aspects of the teachings. When I change my diet, of course, immediately we get off of pork, and which wasn't too hard. Then I stopped eating red meat. Then I discipline myself to eat only one meal a day. Then we would fast 3 days, the 72-hour fast. We call it the unity fast, to purify ourselves. And we were so wrapped up in that teaching that you could see it. It was like we moved at a different speed. We thought at a different speed. Our minds, our recollection of names, date, places, events. Oh, it was phenomenal. And going through that process, that discipline, not just for a few days, I was in the, until maybe the 8th year of my prison bid. So I lived like that 18 years. And so once I was released in 2018, I go straight to the mosque. All I know is Nation of Islam. My conversation, Nation of Islam. You know, it's the kind of thing that it consumes you in a good way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so as I began to continue to grow, I'm out here now, I'm in the teachings, and I'm adding things. But one of the things that propel me, I want to say, into another stratosphere is when I accepted the responsibility to become a husband.
Woo.
The process that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us in courtship, finding, waiting on Allah to bring you the perfect mate, a help meet, someone to help you meet your full potential, brother. And when you wait on that person, is in whatever you, your weakness, for lack of a better word, is their strength, and vice versa. And they can refine your thinking. They can refine your movement. Wherever you have maybe a sense of uneasiness, they could make that fun. And when I became a husband and married an MGT, I'm here to tell you, that black woman, man, that black woman make you feel, if you don't know you, God, she will make you believe it. And then send you out there and say, now go prove it. And then when you come back and be like, yeah, I did, she'll look at you and say, I knew it all the time. So my transformation, the development, once I became a husband, I began to see why the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that marriage is half of one's faith. And that's important. And I say that to all the brothers that's listening, that are out there that are unsure or coming up with reasons not to really take that step. You are missing a major piece of your development if you don't look to unite with the woman that the God who came for you provided for you, and that's the MGT. And I'll put a pin in it right there.
Man, you talking about two wonderful answers. Man, coming from Brother Abdullah, the mission. And I have to bear witness, brother, the beauty of the transformative power of the teachings. And Brother Abdullah's answer, Sister Cosetta, she said the prison is all he think about. Is serving
yes,
his leader and our brothers and sisters, and you hear it coming from him. Now, brothers, at the top of the hour, we're about 18 minutes, 17 minutes. I want to get a couple more in before we get to our sister Charlene Muhammad. We certainly want to encourage our listeners to continue to support Elevated Places. We're standing on the shoulders of our dear sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, and her work, and we want it to continue into the future. And we certainly encourage you all now, make sure you go to www.ministerava.com, where you will find her print books, e-books, and masterclass recordings. So we certainly want to get that in. But brothers, the audience know a little bit about you, your experience, how Islam has touched your life. Let's move out into the community with this one. There's a lot going on in communities across the country, black communities in particular, and the concern about crime and violence. We see, according to what they report, and I emphasize according to what they report, an uptick in criminal behavior, particularly among our young people. What, and with you, Brother Abdullah, and I'd like to hear both of you all's perspective, what can we do as a community, brothers, and the prison reform ministry, to be proactive in terms of keeping our young people and our brothers and sisters out of the belly of the beast, because it's as though we've run from them and left them to their own devices. And I think the prison reform ministry can play a heck of a role in that. So I would like to hear your perspective, Brother Abdullah. What can we expect, or what do you think we as a community, as well as the prison reform ministry, can do to help stem the tide of our young brothers and sisters going down the path that you have experienced, Kenneth has experienced? You know that's the direction that our people should not go. What are your words on that, big brother?
I'm just going to give you an example, and then let
yes, sir.
Brother Kenneth take it the rest of the way. the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan chose me to be his national student national prison reform ministry. And at one time he said, Brother Abdullah is my head of the Nation of Islam's prison reform ministry. As a result of my work on the inside of the jails and the prisons, there was a security firm established by Brother Leonard Farrakhan Muhammad in Rockwell Gardens. And it was, at the time, it was said to be the worst housing project in the country. Minister Farrakhan said that he wanted me to be the director of security for New Life Self-Development Company. And so I accepted the job and I went down there. But when I got out the car, the people was hollering my name, Abdullah, Abdullah, that's Abdullah in the long, in the maxi level, man, that's him. And when they found out I was director of security, killing stop projects, because most of them hollering out the window and hanging off the banisters had attended the Nation of Islam services while they was in the county jail or while they was in Stateville prison. So all we got to do is do the work among those that they condemn as the worst.
Come on, man.
And maintain your position on the foundation that Master Farid Muhammad allowed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to work on, and then the reestablishment on that foundation by Minister Farrakhan. So basically all we got to do is get out among the people, invite them to what we accepted, put on different community programs and things where they could get to know us, and leave the rest to Allah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Beautiful.
I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. The work from inside. Enabled me,
yes,
under Minister Farrakhan's divine guidance and wisdom. We actually stopped the killing, man, from just the work he had me doing on the inside.
Yes,
and as a matter of fact, if you don't mind,
no,
I no longer worked there, I got calls from brothers telling me, man, the worst mistake they ever made was to get rid of you, because tomorrow's killing going to start back. And I'm tired of killing. I've been killing since I'm 11 years old, man. And I'm tired of this. You got to come back. And I asked the minister, and he didn't sound like, you know, he wanted me to go back, so I never went back. But
yes,
that's the effect of us serving the people. And the same happened with Minister Farrakhan serving the community and walking among the people, taking time to just talk with them. Carve an hour out where you just talk to the people. Don't, you ain't trying to sell them a paper or nothing. Talk to them. Walk with them. And then we had the same effect that Minister Farrakhan had on the people. When the police attacked, the people rose up and they had to ask the minister to escort them to safety.
Yes, sir. We got the same power.
That's my answer on that.
Brother, simple but effective. Simple but effective. Good God. Brother Kenneth, share your thoughts with us, brother, on what can we do to help stem the tide of our young men going into the belly of the beast.
Brother, I can get it to you real simple. Follow what Brother Abdullah just said.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It was so profound.
He told me to go ahead, but I mean, that's beautiful. I just would like with this to just bear witness to what he said, because when he said, and I want the listeners to say, his work on the inside of the prison manifested on the outside. He had the kind of credibility, but once he came, he was so well thought of and loved because he had shown that kind of love to people in the worst conditions in their life, that immediately they said, hey, we got somebody here that believes in us and we're going to follow him. That's what we have to do. That's what he's trying to get over to us. We got to get real deep and involved in this thing. When he's taking the message of the one who commissioned him, from my vantage point now, and he said, pick up your cross and follow me. What did they say about the Jesus in the Bible we read about? They asked him the question, why do you hang out with publicans and sinners?
Right.
Come on, man.
Right.
You know, these are low level people. He said the healed need not a physician. They said the same thing about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Only the meanest of them follow you. Well,
right.
Who would be the sinners today? Who would be the meanest of us today? It would be those that are languishing in the prison house. It would be the youth that they are labeling as a lost cause, irredeemable, irreformable, super predators, menace to society, all of these things that they're labeling, but they don't want to get down to the root cause of the problem. So just like Victor Hugo says, if a soul is left in darkness, sins will be committed, but the guilty one is not he who commits the sin, is he who creates the darkness. So you lock up these teenagers for a robbery. You lock them up for kidnapping. You lock them up for murder. But these are derivative crimes born out of the greater crime. Because who was the first robber? Who robbed them of the knowledge of themselves? The knowledge of God, the knowledge of religion, the time and what must be done. Who kidnapped their ancestors from their land and never had to pay a price? Who is the biggest killer? They may shoot one or two people, but who have wiped out entire populations here in America? Whatever they do, it is a small reflection of the greater crime that has been committed that has never been addressed. So we got to go after our people and stop condemning them. We got to go after our youth and stop judging them. We got to do just like the minister showed us and what Brother Abdullah talked about, just go out and walk with them and let them know you believe in them, and you'll be surprised of the results you'll get. And you learned all of these things when you on the inside carrying that message to the population that's housed in the prison houses of America.
Wow, wow. Brother, y'all make me, man, want to get up tomorrow, get suited and booted, and go to the field that I'm assigned and just hit the block and walk around. Y'all got me fired up, brother, and that's exactly what was in my heart as it relates to what we need to do. Last question before we get to the top of the hour. We got 5 minutes on this one, dear brothers. A question coming from our dear sister Donna.
And we want to get to the banquet just a little bit, which was such a beautiful celebration. Good God Almighty, it was a night to remember, like Shalimar say. But, brothers, for the families that may be listening and have family members that are incarcerated, how does an NOI study group actually get started in prison where they may not exist? Because, in my estimation, every prison house in this country needs a study group up and rolling in it. So how does that happen, Brother Abdullah? How does a brother get that started in a prison where it may not already be present? Or the, sister as well.
The, right. And I want to briefly say it's not highlighted as much as the brothers, but Minister Farrakhan, when I first got chosen, he permitted me to conduct religious services for the women. And now I did it for 9 years. And then I turned it over to a sister named Marilyn. Then COVID-19 hit. And for the second time, I have established religious services for the women. With that being said, it take the brother that's on the inside who is a believer is the one that fights to establish religious services and to have a representative of his faith to come in. Sometimes they are denied religious service, and most of the religious services that we have, it was inmates on the inside that wrote grievances and filed lawsuits and won the right for them to practice their faith. So it's not us going in saying, let me in, let me in. It's got to be a believer from the inside fighting for Islam, knowing that we will surely win.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. So that's how it's done, and that is certainly needed on the inside. We're just a couple of minutes from the top of the hour. Of course, you all are listening to Elevated Places. I certainly want to reiterate that Elevated Places, it continues to move forward, and we are standing on the shoulders of our dear sister and founder of this Blog Talk Radio program, Sister Minister, Student Sister Minister Ava Muhammad. And may Allah be pleased with her as we continue her legacy and keep her works alive and in the forefront. We encourage you, listeners, please go and visit her website at www.ministerava.com, where you will find print books, e-books, and masterclass recordings equipped your spiritual library today, because I'm telling you, some spiritual warfare is seriously going on at a level that's serious. So the best and most valuable possession we can have in this time, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said to us, I remember him saying this to Savior's Day 94 and the guidance in these troubled times. He said the most valuable possession you can have in this time is right guidance. And you will find that at Sister Dr. Ava's website, of course, as well as the Nation of Islam's website and the Final Call store. So we're at the top of the hour, 1 minute until I think my big sister, Sister Charlene Muhammad, is on. Sister Charlene, are you there, ma'am?
Hi, Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir. How are you?
I am blacktastic and getting better now that I hear your voice, Sister Christina, to come with that mighty, mighty Final Call segment of tonight's broadcast.
Thank you. And assalamu alaikum to the panel. Today's In the News on Elevated Places begins with the Final Call newspaper's cover story, Weather Nightmare Pummels America as Winter Storm Engulfs the Country. The natural strength of God's power over nature is manifesting more and more as the four great judgments of rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes sweep across America from coast to coast. Millions of people are still dealing with the aftermath of the latest weather event that has hit the U.S. frigid temperatures gripped America in a winter storm and bomb cyclone that at press time for the final call left more than 1.5 million people without power, caused thousands of flight cancellations, and caused flooding across the country during the week of December 22nd through 25th, this according to the National Weather Service. The scope of the storm has been nearly unprecedented, stretching from the Great Lakes near Canada to the Rio Grande, along the border with Mexico. About 60% of the U.S. population faced some sort of winter weather advisory or warning, and temperatures plummeted drastically below normal from east of the Rocky Mountains to the Appalachians. This is according to the National Weather Service, and PBS.org reported that. At least 25 people died in Erie County, New York, as a result of the massive winter storm. County officials said December 26th that brought the nationwide death toll to 47, according to CNN. Heavy snow, strong winds, and dangerous wind chills slammed various parts of the country. Watch the weather, as you said, Brother Shahid. And closing out our In the News today, we have In Unmasking Black America. This article is out of the special section, COVID-19 and the U.S. Policy of Depopulation. Black and Latino people in America continue to mask up for fear of catching the sickness known as COVID-19. But the question remains, if the pandemic is over, as an unmasked President Biden said in September on 60 Minutes, referencing the lack of mask wearing all around him, why is it that blacks are still attached to masking? Why have so many blacks chosen to willingly restrict their own breathing and to continually re-inhale so much of the waste that their bodies are trying to eliminate? Even those who say they believe that the governments of the world are in the midst of a massive depopulation program appear to accept that these same governments are earnestly trying to save them from a pandemic with health policies like lockdowns, mandatory masking, and social distancing. A just-published study in the Journal of Infection challenging the CDC's own data set found a, quote, lack of correlation between school mask mandates and pediatric COVID-19 cases, unquote. In summary, that study stated, quote, we failed to find the same evidence that school mask mandates are associated with a reduction in U.S. county pediatric COVID-19 cases. Despite these conclusive scientific findings, Dr. Christina Parks, cellular and molecular biologist, explains the belief in mask wearing is more superstition than science-based logic. She says, quote, people want to believe that face masks work, so they are kind of turning their brain off. Form of magical thinking, such as when one goes to a movie, suspends one's disbelief and decides that people can fly. They've generated so much fear. I've seen very rational people wearing a mask, and even though it's just a regular medical mask, there's holes everywhere, around your nose, the cracks around your mouth and your chin. How does anybody really think that that's doing anything? Asked Dr. Park. For In the News and Elevated Places, I'm Sister Charlene Muhammad.
Oh, Sister Charlene, if I had my applause button, I'd give you a round of applause, dear sister. Thank you for that wonderful support from that great, great Final Call newspaper. Brothers and sisters, we are at that point in the program where we would like to engage our listening audience. And if you would like to be a part of tonight's conversation, you simply just have to call in. And the call-in number is 563-999-3065. And just press number one, and you will be entered into the queue. And first up tonight, we got my brother Hoyle Muhammad, who's calling in, want to talk to our guest tonight. Brother Hoyle, are you there, sir?
Assalamu alaikum, student minister, Brother Abdul Shahid Muhammad. I'm up here with a bunch of superstars. You and the great Abdul.
No, sir, brother. Student minister, I'm a grain of sand on the beach of the believers. Wa alaikum salam, sir. I guess I'm locked and loaded and ready to hear and answer whatever you got to ask. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir, brother. And I just want to thank the great work. And I saw the clip. I wasn't able to make it down there, but I saw it on the Holly Springs, the feed. And it was beautiful and moving. You know, all the brothers, I want to thank the brother, student minister Abdullah, beautiful testimony. And my brother, Kenneth Muhammad, brother, you're powerful, brother. You're a powerful brother. And all of you, and I want to thank you for doing the great work in Holly Springs. You and Brother Kenneth are doing in Holly Springs, and Brother Abdullah and his prison reform ministry. He's been there for years, and I've met the brother in Chicago, and I met him several times. Beautiful brother. Myself, I work, you know, myself and Brother Warren, we're top fishermen in the nation, and actually we work with a lot of brothers that are incarcerated and dealing with street brothers. And, you know, we have the same sentiments, you know, to teach them the knowledge of self and bring them to the mosque, you know. And what's important, you know, a lot of them have, you know, in while they were incarcerated, some of them have, you know, been in the Nation of Islam prison reform ministry. But I remember the minister saying, and he said, what is the importance of the NOI prison reform ministry? And the minister said, some of our greatest minds are languishing in prison, not because we are wicked by nature, but we are wicked by circumstance. And others are there who are absolutely innocent. Prison has been used by the wicked to trap and imprison minds that are rebellious to their system. So what we would like to see happen to those in prison is what happened to Brother Malcolm as a perfect example. So we should demand that books are in the libraries that can inspire us to greatness, and then it can start with the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I like what Brother Abdullah said, and, you know, the brothers to hold on in prison, because, like I said, Allah's chastisement is in full effect. If we submit, and I remember Brother Jabril said some of the best helpers are going to come from the prison, you know, so, and out there in the streets. So, inshallah.
And if I may, Brother Hoyle, if you would pronounce it, Brother Abdullah. Brother Abdullah.
Abdullah. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Abdullah. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. And forgive me for Miss. Yes, sir. And this is a beautiful show and beautiful testimony. And I'm just listening and soaking in the knowledge and. And I'm just going to just soak and let somebody else talk. And I just want to thank you, brothers, for doing the great work you're doing. And like the minister said,
any questions you want to ask, brother?
Oh, yeah. I want to ask the question to Brother Abdullah. I got it right. Did I say it right, brother?
Come on, man.
Shaheed. Yes, sir. I got it right. Brother Abdullah, are you going to expand? I know you... And with the COVID and everything going on, are you going to expand once we, you know, the prison reform ministry around the country? Are you going to seek and get training? Because I know brothers, a lot of Abdul Mutakir's sister, and brother Abdul Shaheed, he's probably still is, and all of the brothers still work in the prisons. But are you going to seek more ministers in the prison?
Well, the decision as to who becomes a NOI prison reform minister, prison reform ministry assistant or coordinator, we rest with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
His brother Mustafa, our Supreme Captain, came to one of our laborers' meetings. And he said that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that he's the only one that makes ministers. And as far as he's concerned, you're the only prison minister because you're the only one that he chose. So there are others that are helping me, but Minister Farrakhan determines if they are allowed to go in a prison.
Yes, sir.
And the Nation of Islam's prison ministry doesn't need to expand. It's all, we already in the prisons across the country, in the islands, and overseas.
Yes,
so
sir.
Like I said, it's the warriors within who take the stand and the fight to set up a beachhead behind enemy lines, and then we begin to take control of the minds of those inmates that are able to be communicated with. And
yes, sir. As
you mentioned, Brother Warren, and you being fishermen, well, Brother Warren attended religious services when I conducted religious services in Pekin, Illinois.
Yes, sir.
So we already, well, since you mentioned that, I'll say one thing and then let Brother Kenneth, the order of the show. But I just left teaching at Old Folsom Prison.
Mm-hmm.
On the 21st of December. And when I finished teaching and had left the institution, is a brother named Abdul Malik that did 31 years and was in contact with the inmates and
yes, sir.
Facilitated the way for me to visit that prison.
Mm.
I visited the prison and I delivered the word as I was taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan under his guidance. And when I left, I got a call from Brother Abdul Malik. And all he was saying was, "It's lit. It's lit, man. It's lit."
Yes, sir.
And he said, they organizing, man. So the next
yes,
day,
sir.
I realized, I don't know what he mean, they organizing. So I asked him the next day, I said, "What do you mean they organizing?" He said, "Man, you touched some key people up in there. You touched some key people, man. They organizing, they getting ready to buy the study guides and everything to be in the chapel library. They pledging to start coming to the Nation of Islam religious services themselves, and they buying individual study guides for themselves." So,
yes, wow.
The word is spreading and bringing about the change.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's all I got to say on that. But I did affect Brother Warren when he was locked up, according to his own words and testimony. I thank you all.
Oh, he told me you did. He told me you did. All praise and to Allah.
That's all I have to say.
To Allah.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
May Allah bless you all in your endeavors and keep up the good work. That's all I can say. All praise and due to Allah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Hoyle. All right. Brother Abdullah, man, I got to get like you, brother, in the sense that.
What you mean?
My answers.
What you talking about?
My answers are succinct and not so wordy. I'm a wordy brother, Brother Abdullah. But you go straight for the throat, and it's done. So I've made that observation about my brother.
Well,
Kenneth, did you want to add anything? No, go ahead, Brother Abdullah. Go ahead, sir.
No, I don't want to stop Brother Kenneth from having something to say.
Oh, no, sir. Oh, you handled that one, brother. You knocked it out of the park. Oh, God. You ran around the bases, and that's it. They're going in for a relief pitcher right now. It's over with.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say, Brother Andre, you asked for questions, not speeches. And you should
yes,
make
sir.
Sure people ask the questions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I just did to Brother Hoyle. And Sister Donna said I pulled one out of him tonight. Praises be to Allah. We got another caller on hold, and I think it's Brother Darryl. So we want to get to Brother Darryl. Brother Darryl, we want to hold you up any longer. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Salam alaikum, family. Happy Savior's Day.
Happy Savior's Day. Wa alaikum salam, sir.
I'm not going to keep you long because my sister whooping us with this good eating food. homemade veggie rice and stuff. But I want to praise be to Allah for all of the hosts that's on there that's speaking. It's the words I can't even express. The words that I want to say, y'all already took it out, so it's a lot of confirmation. But when the brother was speaking about the price that Master Prophet Muhammad said that we, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, had to pay, he prepared himself to go in prison. He didn't have to, and Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't either, but they had him on draft that he was too old to go in. But the God knew that a lot of us were going to be going into the prison. So when they the God went in, then Master Prophet Muhammad, to whom praise are due forever, he was preparing the prison life for those that went in. But look what the blessings has done throughout the Nation of Islam, Cook County Jail, and all throughout the prisons of America. These teachings is spreading all over. I just want to thank you all, because words, I can't even describe what I want to say, because you all have answered it. All praises to Allah for the teachings and the honor of Muhammad. And may Allah continue to bless you. Sister Ava's show. Long live the spirit of our beloved Sister Ava. I love you all, and ain't nothing you could do with it. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. Praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Darrell, for your call. And the callers, man, and people are listening. And there are great expectations where the prison reform ministry is concerned. I want to get to the Gaila Pass. And I really hadn't had a chance to talk with Brother Abdullah at length about how he enjoyed it and how he felt. So, Brother Abdullah, just share with us how you felt. And Sister Charlene, jump in at any time. You don't have to respond to that right now, Brother Abdullah, but I want to hear your words. But our Sister Charlene is still there. Sister Charlene, did you have a question?
Thank you. Actually, I do. Thank you. Thank you, Brother. And, wow, this dialogue is very, very, very good. And just can't thank Allah enough for you all and what you're doing with the prison reform. And, Brother Abdullah, you dropped the mic when you talked about that COVID piece inside the prison. And my question comes out of that. Yeah, the question comes. And it's also so good to have seen the gala take place. What are some of the protocols and policies right now, even since you gathered that data, for families who want to visit or write, send materials? How does one support an inmate now with the entire climate?
What did you say? I thought I heard you use the word materials.
Yeah, whether I mean, and what are the policies for visitation? What is that structure now? And also for supporting someone, if you want to get money to them, books to them, how can family members go about, you know, or even people who want to adopt a prisoner, so to speak, for lack of a better term, an inmate?
Well, first of all, you have to know an inmate to adopt an inmate. And and then you have to do that on your own, because my perception is at the Holy Day of Atonement, Father George Clemens was supposed to be able to present his program, which is adopt a prisoner. But circumstances didn't allow him to come to the microphone, so the minister said it for him on his behalf. I'm not opposed to adopting an inmate, but I would rather for you to adopt a study group and support the brothers that's doing the work in the belly of the beast.
Got it.
And plus, I don't have all of the help I need. And once you write a brother or a sister back, I don't write the women. I got my sister and Sister Ophelia, Sister Marilyn and them to write on my behalf. They might ask me what I would like to say, but I don't write the women. But you, if you want to send, they don't let you send in. In other words, Sister Charlene can't send in a final call paper to whatever sister or brother, meaning family member. If you want to send a final call in or a book, you can't just mail it in anymore. They want it to come from a publisher. So the best way for us to send in literature and materials is to order it from the final call. And then let the final call ship it in, or you pay for the subscription and let the final call send them the newspaper. And as far as prisons protocol, it depends on the prison and the administration. Some administrations don't hinder you the way some others do. So it depends on the institution and the mentality of the administration whether or not. But right now, the way I see it, some of them you got to take a test 7 days before you come into the prison as a guest speaker. Others, you got to do it 3 days before you come in. And the last prison I went to, they only required me to wear a mask. So now that you said, you know, like you said, Biden is on TV, and I think I heard that you don't have to wear the mask now. And so it depends on what part of the country, who the administrators are, what you have to do to visit your family.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Yes. And that is so true, man. Well, Brother Abdullah, Brother Kenneth, it's gala time, man. We want to hear, as I was saying before our sister and Sister Charlene, that was a beautiful question, sister, because people really don't know the hurdles that was back in the day. You used to mail a care package, but it's not like that no more. But, Brother Abdullah, man, I want to hear, man, how did you feel? You know, share with us, how did you experience the gala? It was such a beautiful thing to me, but I want to hear from you, brother. How did you enjoy the prison reform, the fourth annual prison reform gala in Holly Springs last Saturday?
Well, it's still dawning on me. All I knew is that gala celebration was bigger than me. I knew that, but I couldn't put it in words. But one of the things that I really enjoyed was hearing Brother Kenneth tell how this event came about. And that was him wanting to do something to raise the spirit of Holly Springs and the South. And he was trying to come up with how to go about it. And his wife, whom I did not know and didn't know me, suggested to him, why don't you honor Brother Abdullah? You always around here talking about him. So that was a high point for me. I'm going like, what? I didn't even know her. You know, and then Brother Kenneth, like he said, his helped him to move out on that idea. So that was a highlight for me. I really that really stunned me, and I even told Brother Kenneth several times, man, this is bigger than me, man. This is bigger than me. And then All of a sudden, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Messiah of the Second Resurrection, popped up on the screen. And I knew nothing about it. I didn't know it was going to happen. And to listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tell us about the memories that this event that Sister Coretta suggested her husband put on brought the Messiah back to where he
came.
Come on,
man.
And then the, you know, in the Bible, in the Revelations, my memory ain't like it used to be, but I believe it's Revelations chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
There are voices crying out from the throne, from under the throne. Mm-hmm. How long, O Lord, before thou dost avenge our blood shed upon the earth?
Mm-hmm.
And he told them that just a little while, and he gave them white robes of sainthood and let them know you got brothers that going to have to pay the same price. That wasn't the exact words, but basically that's what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the minister went into how the Jews bought the land and had us pick the cotton, and they grew rich. And our brothers and sisters that were slain by these wicked slave masters, it caused Minister Farrakhan to mention them. And Skip Robinson, who was killed when an 18-wheeler crossed the center line and ran head-on into him. And while I was down there, they took me on a tour of, I forgot the name of it, but it's the hotel where
Martin
Luther King, the Heritage.
Yes,
what?
Sir. Heritage and the Civil Rights Museum. It was the Heritage Tour.
Okay, and they took me there. And on a phone call, the minister asked me, do you know Skip Robinson? And I told the minister, I've been walking around since I've been down here with Skip Robinson in my heart and all of the martyrs who sacrificed their life for us to get to where we at now.
Good
and
God.
Then the minister came on the screen and talked about his memories and his experience with the people of the South, who immediately decided that they would secure him to old Mississippi.
Yeah.
So for us to hear that history, and it was a lot of firsts that I heard. One of the first places where I started, my first minister, strong minister, who was so strong and fearless, I named him Abdul Aziz, formerly Skip Robinson, my first minister. Where I first began. And then Sister Shelby, his sister, a week before I came down there, told me that her brother Skip Robinson came to her and her sister Van and told them that Minister Farrakhan is going to start a school and he going to need you all. Then Sister Shelby became the first director of MUI here in Chicago.
That's right.
Parchment, Mississippi is the first prison that Minister Farrakhan went to upon his ride. And I was blessed to be with him. And that's
yes,
the
sir.
First prison that I escorted him into. I gave a brother named Roosevelt my first FOI uniform. He passed it on to brother Kareem Ali. And then at the gala, the uniform was given back to me in a frame.
Mm. Come
so
on,
it was
man.
A lot of first things,
beautiful.
A lot of things that was first that I noticed.
Mm. Beautiful.
So,
beautiful.
And then for me walking around with sin in my heart, even before I got down there, for the minister to say I remind him of Skip Robinson.
Mm.
That right there, it touched me deeply because I can't even put it in words, man. I would never forget what these people have done to us.
Mm.
And I would never back down from telling the truth regardless of whom or what. We need to bring Minister Farrakhan to people all over this country and world because Jesus is a traveler for justice.
Mm.
And Minister Farrakhan is that woman standing on the moon,
mm-hmm.
pregnant child, painting to give
Go
birth
ahead,
to
man.
A nation.
Go ahead.
That a man child that will rule with a rod of iron.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That star
Preach, man.
In our flag is clothed in the light of truth from Allah, our God, who gave us the flag, and his servant's truth, Elijah Muhammad's truth, is surrounding and clothing that star, which represents justice and Minister Farrakhan. So to realize all of this, and I'm still realizing things, man. It's bigger than me, and I just want to stay in the zone. I just want to pray. I just want to read some part of the Quran every morning after prayer. Mm. I want to work out. I want to study. And then I want to do more work. Like in office work, answering letters or whatever my responsibilities are. And it occurred to me this morning after prayer that we can't let, what do you call that, not superstition, but in other words, these traditions. Making you think because you didn't make it at 5 a.m., now it's too late to do your rock cards and Allah is not going to accept your prayers. It's 5. It's supposed to be
oh,
at
no,
5
sir,
and it's 9. No, no.
No, sir.
If
no,
I
sir.
Don't be blessed to wake up at 5 and I wake up at 6, guess what? I'm saying my prayer, my doing my rock card. Nothing is going to stop
sir.
Me from communicating with my God.
Come on, brother. That's
so,
right. That's right, brother.
That's what I got, Sister Coretta and Brother Kenneth being at the root of this whole thing and the cause for Minister Farrakhan to come back where he began. So I'm going to be quiet at this point.
I know, brother, you sound full, man, you know. And,
woo! Long way,
you got me full.
Man.
You pour your cup running over and running in my cup, man.
well, that's all Lord. Good because I'm trying to defend my leader the way according to where he got me at.
That's right, brother. Beautiful. Hey, man, you kind of segued me into the question I had for Brother Kenneth.
Okay.
And but he's the representative of his household. Brother Kenneth, man, what was the genesis of the beautiful idea, and how did it develop in your mind, brother, as Brother Abdullah alluded to,
You know, you wanted to do something. You made it clear to me, brother, what your desire was. Brother Abdullah, he clear in what he wanted to do when he got to Holly Springs. His passion,
yes,
his prison. I know that, and he knows I ain't standing in the way of it. I'm going to help him get wherever Allah's trying to get my brother to. So, brother, share with us, Brother Kenneth, how did it develop in your mind as your wife gave it to you, or even before then, if you so desire?
Well, in the time constraints, the prison reform gala, the first time I was involved with it, I was incarcerated. Brother Captain Andre Muhammad and the believers out of Muhammad's Mile 60 had me write a letter expressing the need to support prison reform ministry. The second one was in 2018. I had just been released a couple of months, and the believers came out. I think the regional helpers were there. But the third one was interesting because I think Brother Ishmael was there, and I had just entered into courtship with my now wife, Sister Coretta. And then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. This was 2019, mm-hmm. so we didn't do anything in 2020. We didn't do anything in 2021. So fast forward, I was saying, hey, you know, let's thing back going. And then I said to myself, because when you go into prison and service brothers, like Brother Abdullah and the brothers that were coming in serving us, from Mars number 60 in Nashville, Tennessee. That's hard work. Oftentimes, the brothers that you're servicing, they don't come out to the Mars. And it's almost like you working for nothing in other people's eyes. But those brothers, the program was different. They supported brothers once they were released. I know Brother John, he was from St. Louis, but he wanted to go to the mosque. And so they put him up and paid his rent. They would pick him up and bring him back and forth so he can attend the mosque meetings. The brother, captain, gave him employment. I mean, all of those things until he was able to get comfortable and get on his own. And now he's a husband, father, and thriving in the mosque, all of those things. And so in my mind, I want to say thank you for that. You know, let me lighten the burden. You know, let me remove some of the yoke. And then I said, well, we're here in Holly Springs, Mississippi, the state of Mississippi. Many people have a certain opinion about it. You know, you describe it in that fancy language you say one way, and I was saying to myself, I could never understand it because I wasn't a big color purple man, but you liken it to Sealy, the color purple. But nevertheless, I wanted to do that. I wanted to do something that could jumpstart us back off, and I wanted it to bring the prison reform ministry, man, to the forefront, because sometimes it's an afterthought. And as I was expressing that to my wife, she said, well, let's bring in Brother Abdullah. You know, you're always talking about him. You're always saying how, you know, the only difference from him is people don't really get to see him. She said, well, let's honor him. He's been doing it a long time, and let's honor him. I said, okay. I said, how will we go about it? She said, hey, leave that to me. I said, okay. We just got to work, got with the brothers in Nashville, and we just started working. And my wife began to tell me that a lot of people were calling her, sisters she know around the country that she soldier with, and say, hey, you doing something for Abdullah? Brother Abdullah? Oh, man, he's always so good for the sisters. He always, you know, supported us. What can we do to help? Count me in. I'm coming. I'm going to be there. You know, I wasn't going out begging people to come, brother.
That's right.
Honest to God, too. People were calling and saying, hey, come on. And when people would say, hey, let's do something that wasn't compatible with what the vision that we were trying to bring forth, the brother was right. I wasn't having it. We were going to honor the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's student, National Prison Reform Minister. It's going to be his day. It's going to be about what he's done and all of us who affected that wanted to come out and give honor, thanks, and respect to one of our own. And when I walked in, and Brother Abdullah, he's correct, all weekend long, from the first time I saw him, he said, man, this bigger than me. This bigger than me. People be talking to him, hugging him. He said, I don't even see a word that is. And I'm looking like, man, it's 32 years doing this? Yeah, you getting this. But the more events started taking place. Now, here's something that I haven't shared. That Saturday morning, there was a longtime helper of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I think the brother's name was Chuck Green. If I'm wrong, please.
Right. Right.
Chuck Green. Thank you, sir. He came to the hotel and sat down, and then the minister's daughter came and sat down, and he began to talk some of the history, Brother Abdullah talking, and I'm sitting there, in my mind, I'm like, this need to be recorded. I was like, damn, we missing it. But it was just so spiritual. It was so enlightening, and I said to myself, I said, the God is with us. And when we walked in that night, the first thing, because I didn't know what my wife was presenting. I just know she was working tirelessly around the clock, the sisters, and even my family members who are not in the Nation of Islam. They're my family members, but they were helping my wife. I mean, staying up all night, they were helping to put this thing on. I got to say that. Mm-hmm. And when we walked in, and I heard the brother holler, Allahu Akbar. And when I looked and I saw the beauty of the faces of the people who were there, I said, Allahu Akbar. And the people that night, the spirit was high. People were coming by saying all kind of wonderful things. And I looked at my wife. I said, what we wanted to do, Allah blessed us to do. And I really believe because we prayed and we kept our motives pure and we didn't allow any of the surrounding noise around us to affect what we wanted to do for our brother, Student Minister Abdullah Muhammad. And I just thank Allah that he used me and to get a message from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Can you say? The high point. That's the high point.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right, my brother. Man. Brother, I've just thoroughly enjoyed. I thank my sister Donna for the invitation to be a part of tonight's program. And I've wanted to do this. I'm blessed just to be part of it. And I want to say to you, Brother Kenneth, thank you for sharing your idea with us and hosting it in Holly Springs, that all of us could be a part of it. And thank you, Brother Abdullah, for the work that you've done and continue to do, and my prayer that Allah will continue to bless you. We got 16 more minutes, so, hey, sound like I'm closing, but I'm not. Sister, let me check with Sister Donna, because she's sending me text messages about people that are in the call queue. She's crying. She's touched. She's sending me emojis with tears. And I got to say, Brother Abdullah, the request that you gave me earlier or yesterday regarding those sisters that came from Chicago, my wife has fulfilled those requests, and those packages should arrive for those sisters shortly within the next couple of days, on behalf of yourself and your wife. It was such a beautiful event. But in the time that we've got left, going forward, we talked about how what needs to be done to establish them inside of a prison where they may not exist. Sister Charlene broached the question concerning, you know, adopting an inmate, and you said it would be better to adopt a study circle. Savior's Day 2023 is coming up. And there's something in the works, and I guess this is more of an internal question, but it's external too, because many supporters and friends come out for Savior's Day. It is the crowning event of Black History Month. And I got to ask, brother, what's cooking for the Prison Reform Ministry workshop coming up Savior's Day 2023? And we encourage all of the brothers that were incarcerated, you got to come to Chicago, man, and attend the workshop. Hopefully, inshallah, we will be blessed, and our brother Abdullah and those who are helping him will be blessed to put it on. What can we expect, brother? Or is it something that needs to cook before you expose it?
It needs to cook before I expose it, and I don't want to make any kind of announcement ahead of the executive council who is going to make an announcement in a few days.
Man, see how soldierly that is, y'all? See how soldierly that is and how soldierly Brother Kenneth is as it relates to certain responses. He don't need to add anything to it. That's what we need to get to. That's the discipline we need amongst ourselves. It creates the kind of love in the brotherhood that we so desperately need among Black men. And before I close, before the time gets us, brother, we got about 13 minutes left. The Nation of Islam's Prison Reform Ministry, and this speaks to just how valuable and important it is, because I don't think many of us realize just how valuable the Nation of Islam's Prison Reform Ministry really is. And it is, there's a saying that you know a man by the weight of his enemies. Back in 2018, the Washington Examiner wrote a propaganda-laced article about the Nation of Islam, and it essentially attacked us. King, a senator out of New York, at a time was trying to work to have all of us who were serving as students in the Nation of Islam's prison, helpers in the Nation of Islam's Prison Reform Ministry, to stop us from coming specifically. Brother Abdullah and Brother Kenneth, what were your thoughts when you heard of that, and what must our people understand as to why the enemy would single out the Nation of Islam's Prison Reform Ministry like that?
Because he's one of the conspirators that set the traps and take advantage of our lack of knowledge of God and self to and works with people to pass these wicked laws such as three strikes, and then you out for life. The knowledge of who Peter T. King and all of the rest of the Caucasians are is within us. And as we spread that knowledge, people begin to see them as they are. So he don't want our people to see them as they are, because that means the end of their power to rule. So he's just an open enemy. And him and another, I forgot his name, but he passed away. But they was trying to pass some kind of law to bring Minister Farrakhan before Congress.
Yes, sir.
So these are wicked influences of law to take us out of society. And they are also part of the group who privately own prisons
and benefit from prisons being on the stock market. So he's just a wicked opposer of God, trying to hinder our people from being raised. The conversation between God and Iblis was, respite me until the day they are raised. Well, this is that day. And when you realize most brothers don't settle down enough to listen until they're incarcerated, that's where your greatest minds come from, the time and the attention to the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that's being offered them. They become giants up in there, and that's what the minister means. Once they start studying these teachings and manifesting the attributes of God, gradually evolving into a reflection of God, that's what he means where he say these walls can't hold you. Peter T. King is a wise, crooked deceiver, and if you look at the scriptures, the rulers and their magicians always know who Muhammad is, always know who Jesus is, always know who Moses is, and always know who's born among the people that they are oppressing and enslaving and punishing. So he is just one of the wicked conspirators that don't want you to know that this is the day that you are being raised into the knowledge of who the devil is.
Man, powerful, powerful. Simplistic and powerful, my brother. Brother Kenneth, anything you want to share with what your thoughts on why they are, would attack the Nation of Islam's prison ministry like that, and what is it that our people need to understand about how they are attacking us? We got about 7 minutes left. We need 5 of them, and 2 of them is going to be to close on out.
Yes, sir, Brother Shahi. The Nation of Islam Prison Reform Ministry is a man-making manufacturing machine. And so this world depends on that free labor that is sitting up in those prison houses. One of the main reasons is economic. The Nation of Islam is diametrically opposed to this man's way of civilization. At the root of his control of our people, as Brother Minister Abdullah said, is deception. And so a crooked deceiver, he hates when the truth comes because falsehood vanishes.
Right.
The Nation of Islam exposes the light of the hidden hand. You can't hide when the light comes. So when we're in the prison and the study group is strong, then the brothers, they're not drinking the hooch. They're not using the drugs. They become organized and militant because Islam is not new or strange to the black man. It's the nature of the black man. And Islam awakens in that black man the militaristic, warlike propensity. And so they become a new human being.
Right.
And this is a threat. And when they aren't engaged in the negativity of the institution and the assaults go down, the violence go down, the organizing begins to take place, the men began to requesting the study guides, they requested different materials, they want better food, they want better health care, they're demanding their rights.
Right.
They become a problem. And it is like that statue in the book of Daniel, where they had the head of gold and the breastplate of silver, but on their feet is miry clay and iron is unstable.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And so those who are in the prison houses, as they begin to, now we call it the belly of the beast, but guess what? When your stomach is upset, that's a discomfort that affects the whole body. This is what the Nation of Islam does inside. And so this is why men like Peter King are trying to restrict access and to get the teaching of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad out. They're not just saying we want Islam out because they know how to manipulate some aspects of Islam. But the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that is what they are opposed to. And it is because of our exposure to who the enemy is.
Right.
Bro, Kenneth, I need my applause button, brother. You know I got an applause button.
No, sir.
New brothers, both of y'all,
no.
Man. Brother Abdullah, I mean,
yes, sir.
I'm saying it lightheartedly, but I've been blessed to be part of the prison reform ministry as a helper for 28 years. And I see lions when I go in there, man. I see some of the best of the black man. Is in where I don't even call it the belly of the beast, really. I call it a diamond mine. Some of them are gold mines. And we need helpers with Brother Abdullah to go in and mine our people out of there and shine them up, put the pressure of the teachings on them and lay pressure upon their minds of their many mistakes in the past and present, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, that they may see the light and walk therein. Brothers and sisters, with 3 minutes to close, I got 1 minute to say this. Well, 1 minute to say this, and those were the closing statements. And Brother Abdullah, I'm going to close with what you told me at Saturday night, brother, at the gala was your favorite scripture. And it's Isaiah 42:22, where it talks about us as a people, and it says, but this is the people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth for a spoil and none saith restore. And I'm so glad I had an honor and privilege to talk with two brothers, Student National Prison Reform Minister, Student Minister Abdullah Muhammad is one who is poised and ready to deliver and to restore and to take the prey from the mighty under the direction of his leader and our leader and teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as well as our brother student, Minister Kenneth Muhammad, in the Prison Reform Ministry. So, brothers, I think we are at the end of this bad boy right now. I'm check with my sister Donna to make sure. I got 30 seconds. So, brothers and sisters, thank you all for tuning in to tonight's edition of Elevated Places. And please allow us to leave you as we came before you with the greeting words of peace, praying that Allah will keep and bless you in these troubled times of As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. I never